Good morning. One more time. Good morning. Hey, appreciate the energy. And again, I salute these new brothers who will be serving us as elders, shepherds in our church. Fine guys, fine families, and it's exciting to see. When you leave today, in our lobby, you'll have an opportunity, if you would like, to participate in something that we call the Magi Boxes. And these are going to be little gift boxes that are sent to children in Honduras. And so you can pick up one of those boxes, and there'll be somebody out there to give you some instructions on, you know, what you can buy this week to put in that box. And then you bring it back by next Sunday, and all those boxes will be shipped off to Honduras. And lots of little boys and girls will get some needed goodies around Christmas time. So if you'd like to participate after the service, stop at the obvious area out there in the lobby. Okay, let's jump right into today's message. We're in a series we're calling Life Together, and we're walking through a section from the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians, four chapters, 11, 12, 13, and 14, that really emphasize life in the body of Christ. And the title of today's message is now about spiritual gifts, because that's what the Apostle Paul starts to talk about, and he will for quite a while. So we'll start today, but we will continue in along this theme for a few weeks anyway. All right? Okay, here we go. We're going to start reading 1 Corinthians 12, starting verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. I think there are some extremes that he wants to avoid regarding spiritual gifts. And I would say I'd love for us to avoid these extremes as well. Let me put these three up here on the screen. First of all would be gift phobia. And that's just being afraid of spiritual gifts for whatever reason. Another might be gift mania, and that's where people get all caught up in spiritual gifts to the point of competing and comparing, and actually in the church in Corinth, they were into that. You know, I'm more spiritual than you are because I've got this gift. Oh, no, I'm more spiritual than you are because I have this other gift, and they got into gift mania, and that's why he will write here in a little bit, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is that great love chapter, which was written not about marriage. It was written to a church to say, how do we handle our diversity? How do we handle our differentness? So you want to avoid gift phobia or gift mania or gift negligence. Just, he wants you to understand that as a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? Answer, God. The Father, Son, and the Spirit. The actual, invisible presence of God is with you. When we hear the word spiritual, we tend to think wispy, mysterious. When Paul uses the word spiritual, what he means is animated by the Spirit. That the Holy Spirit will animate your life so that you will do, listen, normal, tangible, active things, but you will do them for the good of the church. You will do them so that Jesus gets spotlighted, and these normal actions are animated and energized by the Holy Spirit. All right, verse 2. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He's simply saying, you know, who is a spiritual person? Answer, anybody who belongs to Jesus is a spiritual person. When you became a Christian, you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You received the Holy Spirit as a gift. You remember in Acts chapter 2 that records kind of the day of Pentecost, a lot of people becoming Christians that day. And the Apostle Peter would stand up and he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, you may look at me and say, well, now, Ronnie, you're a preacher. You probably have maybe the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure that I've been a believer long enough. Have I gone to church? when you become a Christian, you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, you will grow in the Spirit, and the Spirit will begin to have more influence in your life. The Bible tells us to be full of the Spirit. In other words, we invite the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us. But when you become a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. That's how you're able to say, Jesus is Lord, and mean it. Now, where he's going with this is, don't get caught up into thinking that one spiritual gift or one ability makes you more spiritual than somebody else. We're all spiritual people. We all have the Spirit. We can all be animated and energized by the Holy Spirit. Okay, let me define what spiritual gifts are. Let me put this on the screen, please. Okay, spiritual gifts are abilities, energies, and moments. Key word, moments. In fact, if I had to underscore and circle one key word today that I really want you to embrace, it's this concept of Holy Spirit moments. Abilities, energies, that's true, but moments assigned to every believer, you, me, every Christian, animated by the Holy Spirit and designed for the common good of the body of Christ. Now, in a little bit, I'm going to underscore the importance of these Holy Spirit moments, because if you don't get this, here's how you'll view the spiritual gifts. You'll think, well, I have this gift, but I don't have that gift. I have this gift, but I don't have that gift. Therefore, God could never use me in that way. It is true that you're going to have certain abilities and energies, and you're going to be strong in some particular areas that God can use and take those areas and use them for his good. But listen, you're also going to have moments in your life when the Holy Spirit is going to show up and use you in some surprising way. If you think, oh, I have the gift of wisdom, then you'll convince yourself that, hey, whatever I have to say is wise. And you'll become arrogant. But if you believe that you can have moments of wisdom, where the Holy Spirit can use you, if you'll be humble and you'll ask God, fill me with wisdom. This past week, I was chatting with somebody and they said, Ronnie, I'll never forget something you said to me 2 or 3 years ago. And they mentioned such and such. And I said, I said that? I said, yeah, you said that. I thought, that was good. It didn't come from me. Often, if I'm in a conversation with someone, I just start to pray, Lord, help me to be wise in this moment. Would you speak to this person through me? Listen, God spoke through a donkey. Remember that story in the Old Testament? God ignited a bush. Any old bush can burn if it's available. And any old person can be used if he or she is available. What's a spiritual gift? Yes, it's abilities. Yes, it's energies, but it's also moments that when God will use you for the common good of the body of Christ. Well, he continues on here, verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. Notice his triads and his emphasis on different but same. Different workings, different actions, different services, but the same Lord, the same Spirit, the same God. Here's the good news. You are saved by grace and you are used by grace. These are grace gifts. And some of them are just your natural abilities, and some of them are going to be given to you by the Holy Spirit. It's a combination. But as you give your life to God and you make yourself available, he uses you in increasing measures. And he may use you tomorrow in a different way than he uses you now. But as you grow in knowledge, as you grow in faith, verse 7, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit. What's that? All that the Holy Spirit can do. It's given for the common good, not so that someone might brag on me or brag on you, but that people might get blessed and nurtured and encouraged and edified. Gang, you not only have a call to serve, you have a place to serve in the body of Christ. Now, starting at verse 11, he's going to talk about certain gifts, some specific gifts. Listen very carefully. This list that he gives here is not an exhaustive list. It's a representative list. And he's saying all of these various gifts come from the same Spirit. And if you will make yourself available, God can use you in these ways and in other ways. All right? Let's start reading here, verse 8. And I'll touch on some of these, and some I'm going to save to later. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. What's that? God might use you and implant within you a perspective, a sense of wisdom as you deal with one another, if you'll be humble and ask Him to do that. To another, faith by the same Spirit. What's that? It's a spiritual gift of faith, not normal faith like we all have when we come to Christ, but have you ever found yourself in a time where all odds were against you? Have you ever found yourself in a time when you should have been overwhelmed by fear, and yet there was a strange sense of calm? And you would have said, you know, years ago, if I thought I would have ever been in that situation, I don't know how I could have handled that. But when you were in that situation, God showed up and gave you some faith, some stamina. Or have you ever been in a situation where you should have been overwhelmed by fear, but a sister in Christ or a brother of Christ just came along beside you and said, our God will see you through. I'm going to be praying for you. Our God will take you through this. And their faith helped to stabilize your fear. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. Now, we've all heard of the gift of healing. All you have to do is watch TV and you'll hear somebody, you know, claim the gift of healing, you know, for $29.99. Send me your money, I'll pray for you and send you something. And if you have the gift of healing, do not brag to me about it. Go to a hospital and help people. Now, I believe in gifts of healing. What does that look like? There are going to be moments when you will pray for someone. It's not guaranteed. It's not every time. And by the way, God does always heal. It's simply a matter of when. But there are going to be moments when healing occurs. In fact, the elders of this church, we believe the Bible that says, if you're sick, you call upon us, we will anoint you with oil and pray. And God may heal in that situation. There will be times, moments of healing, when God's going to show up just to say, I'm here, I'm with you, I care. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues or languages. I'm going to spend some time, once we get to the latter part of chapter 13 and chapter 14, talking about prophecy and tongues, languages. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. Here's his main point. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes to them each one just as he determines. The Lord is at work, he says, and if you will simply continue to make yourself available, he's going to show up in surprising ways. Now get this, not the same way in every person. but you become a conduit of His grace and goodness. All right, so how can you welcome the flow? I've got four questions that I'd like for you to ask yourself today. Because your job is not to control the Holy Spirit, you can't do that. Not to market the Holy Spirit, you can't do that. Not to be afraid, but to welcome. Here's the first question. Do you welcome all the Holy Spirit has for you? One of our elders who was ordained this morning, Daryl Roth, several years ago, when he was baptized into Christ in our church by Greg Hugerwerf, Daryl brought to his baptism a blank check made out to God, signed, blank check. He said, "Here I am. However you need to use me." Unhindered influence. I'm yours. Years ago, I prayed a prayer, and I still pray it from time to time. Lord, I don't want to miss anything you have for me because I'm afraid or because I'm not giving you permission. And Jesus taught us in Luke 11 that to receive even more of what God has for you, just ask. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. It's not that God is reluctant. He just wants to know, Ronnie, are you inviting? Are you inviting me? And Jesus says, if you, as an earthly father, if you know how to give good gifts, even more your heavenly Father will give even the Holy Spirit. Are you welcoming all He has for you? Secondly, if the answer is yes, why? For self-promotion or for the good of the church? Thirdly, if the answer is no, why? And four, how does the Holy Spirit want to serve the body of Christ through you? This I know, He does. There's no such thing as an ungifted believer. You have the Holy Spirit, and as you welcome and as you make yourself available and as you invite Him, you're going to sense your gifts, your abilities, your strengths, your opportunities, and those moments that God can use you to shine a spotlight on Jesus and to strengthen His church. It's my prayer for you that you will take those gifts and continue to fan them into flame. All right, let's take a moment and pray, shall we? Let me invite our elder couples to please come down front, be taking your places down here. And everybody, what we're going to do, we're going to come before the Lord, we'll humble ourselves, we'll come with a spirit of anticipation and expectation. You can pray certainly right where you are, but you're also invited to come down here and to pray with one of these couples, to take something that concerns you that you want to bring before the Lord and ask them to partner with you in prayer. Over the next few moments also, if you would, look in your order of worship and you'll see a communication card. And we'd like to ask everybody to fill out one of these communication cards. And on this card, there's a place that says, how can we pray for you? Feel free to write something out there. And we will collect these cards once this service is over. All right? Let's stand together, please. Let's come before the Lord now in the spirit of faith, anticipating and believing that He will hear, that He will respond. And if you'd like to come down and pray with one of these couples, now is your time.